Welcome to the daily VFN Radio Highlights, where we're keeping the conversation light at VFNTV.com. Enjoy. It's amazing when we're seeing today take place, and I think about what we learn from history. And I guess the biggest thing that we learn from history, and you don't want it, you know, you hear it all the time, but you don't want it to be true, but the longer you live, you realize it is so true. The one thing we learn about history is that we don't learn anything from history.
Right.
Mm-hmm. We just repeat it. History repeats itself. And if you don't believe it does, just read the book of Judges. It's just like
over and over. Like, you know,
didn't we go over this already?
They didn't have the digital version either of the Bible to be able to go
no
back. And there was no radio or anything of that nature. Some of the things people say on Facebook. Anyway, they were upset with their phone carrier. And they said, you know, that's it. I'm done with this company. And does anybody have any suggestions for a new phone carrier?
Mm.
And, you know, people start saying things like, yeah, they've had problems with that company too. And what's the name of your company? Phone company. Everybody's had the same problems.
Exactly.
And finally, you know, I don't normally make comments on that kind of stuff, mm-hmm. but it was mine. So I made a comment. I said, this is my suggestion for you. It's two cans and a tight string. But then you both have to be on the same carrier.
Right.
And for the older people, younger people, I guess you don't know what that is. That's actually, I don't know if you remember, you could tie a string between the cans and you could talk, right? Mm-hmm. But do you remember that?
But that really didn't work.
That's what I saw in Little Rascals, you know, but I never tried it on myself.
Little Rascals.
Little Rascals.
Wow, you are old.
Yeah, right.
Very.
But it works. You just got to have a tight string and you got to be on the same network. Now, if you're telling the other person to pull the string tight, and they're not listening, you're not on the same network. It's got to be tight. It's got to be taut. And you could just, it's amazing. Totally amazing. You're like 3 feet away. Can you hear me? They're like, no, I can't hear you. Like, you can hear me without the stupid can. I know you can hear me. No, we actually did that as kids. We did that. Imagine, now look how far it's come.
I know.
Look how far it's come. And then you had the walkie-talkie thing, right?
Mm-hmm.
Big, huge walkie-talkie things that you would talk back and forth. Chris, could you bring me
bigger one? That
get your own stuff.
Sounds like my son's.
Oh, really?
Oh yeah, they like the walkie-talkie.
Are you sleeping? No. Mom and Dad in bed yet?
Yeah.
No.
Look underneath the bunk bed.
Yeah.
Underneath you.
That's when you come back home. Like, we have a monitor, kids. Oh my goodness, something flies. So it's like, are we going to, I mean, here we are at this moment in history, and I think about, you know, when Germany was under great oppression and their economy was going bad and people began to hurt. And it's like, we're on this beginning part of what, and I think we can get there faster than they did because of how long we've artificially sustained things. Because what evil's learned from the past is that you got to give it longer. You got to build it bigger. You gotta really have it all hanging over the cliff so mm-hmm. that when you do mm-hmm. drop, it drops it. If you want to make sure it's really gone, you're gonna have to, you know, so you can't, the, mm-hmm. the evil learns from the past as well. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, suddenly, there became food shortages, people weren't getting their pay. It was a democracy. It was a democracy, by the way.
Germany.
Yeah, Germany. It's a democracy. And just yesterday, when everybody's given all these reports about how wonderful everything is and everything's under recovery and all this kind of stuff, well, we had lunch with a businessman that is hurting,
mm-hmm.
and not able to do the things that he's always done because it's just really tough financially. And then we go to a large franchise, a grocery store franchise, for a $1 million complex supposedly, and you know, spread across the Gulf Coast region. And the managers are there, and they're selling everything because they're going out of business. And the managers say, "Yes, we're asking a lot of questions," and would say, "Do you have a card? You know, so we can call, you know, about the facility, the building, or whatever." And he says, "It's in the trash can over there." And he says, "As a matter of fact, the trash can's full of all of our cards."
Wow!
Wow!
And I said, "What are you going to do?" And this is this large company that provided food for years, and for you know several states stretching the Gulf Coast region, and they're just selling off. You know, they've got the shelves are all you know thinned out, and you have a few things left in there. And I said, "Well, what are you going to do? I mean, where are you going to work at?" And he says, "I'm going to draw unemployment for the next 3 years."
Wow.
America, that just doesn't work. That scenario doesn't work. We don't close down entire corporations with all their employees, which brings in less tax dollars, and then pay them out of money we don't have.
Right.
From the tax dollars for the next 3 years. That whole scenario doesn't work. I understand, and you know, I understand all that, but it's not as pretty as they make it out to be. And for to understand that it's, you know, $18 billion or something that's reportedly being injected into the economy by the Federal Reserve every single month to keep it going. So that's like, that's sort of like, you know, you don't have any money, but the bank keeps giving you, you know, 10 grand every month in your bank account, and you're living a life off 10 grand, but then $10,000 for those who don't know what 10 grand is. And then you give this form of being alive and everything's functioning. But any moment, if they said, "Listen, we're going to stop, we've been giving you 10 grand long enough. We're going to stop putting 10 grand in your checking account."
Mm-hmm.
It's not going to take, but about, no time at all. Before you're not living like you got 10 grand in your checking account. It's going to be like instant. As a matter of fact, not only that, you created this whole life and business and everything that takes 10 grand to run it, 10 grand a month to run it. So now, not only do you have nothing, but you have a 10 grand a month void that's sucking you, a black hole that's sucking you, you know, into this depth of debt. And that's where America is right now. That's what's happening. So this thing, based on what the Lord has shown us talking to you right now and others as well, is that there's going to be a shift. There's going to be a correction. At some point, logic just says they're going to have to quit putting money, printing money, giving it to the Federal Reserve, borrowing it back, and backing it up with foreign debt. I mean, at some point, it's going to stop. But what we can do now is we can tell ourselves, like, this 10 grand ain't our money. So I'm going to adjust my life to quit living like I got 10 grand. I don't have 10 grand. That's not my money. You know, and I won't live a life that demands 10 grand every month. I'll live a life within the means of my reality. So that if and when they start printing the money and putting it in there and putting this injection into the economy, you're not going to just be this big drop where all of a sudden you're held captive by the lender and all these things are going on. You know, wisdom says, you know, that ain't your money. Don't live like it's your money. And quit borrowing money on your credit cards. You know, quit borrowing money on things. Just stop. Just stop the madness. And live within our means. You know, live within these means and just say, you know what? This is what it is. This is what it is. But it may be difficult for you, but not as difficult if you begin to do the drug of the 10 grand a month, if you begin to take it and believe that it's yours and begin to live in that fantasy. And right now, people, and you have to understand too, you know, I barely understand it, but America's economy is built on confidence. It's built on confidence. So when a leader is saying things that seem to be contrary to the reality that we're living, you have to give them the benefit of the doubt that they're trying to keep us confident, because if America loses its confidence, then the economy quits moving altogether.
Sure.
That's why President Bush said, "We're sending you money, go shop, relax." Okay. And somebody says, "I can't believe he said that." But what he's saying is, If this currency begins to move through the economy again and the fear goes away, then America begins to flourish again. And so it's not always, you know, somebody's evil strategy. People try to say it's evil. They're trying to build confidence. And when they're injecting $18 billion a month, I would assume, leaning towards, you know, good motives, that those that are making these kind of decisions are wanting you to get confident and begin to do business and do well. But don't live off of the stimulus. Don't live off what's going to be taken away, because it'll be instant downfall. It'll be like the Soviet Union overnight when Gorbachev was the leader there and it all just crashed overnight. Mm. You know, it'll be like the Weimar Republic and their money and what took place. And so prepare yourself. I mean, it's going to happen. And it's sort of like a parent looking at an 18-year-old, 19-year-old child saying, you know, this is the day we've been talking about. Mm. Yeah, I've given you a lot of stimulus for the last, you know, 18, 19, 20 years, and I'm going to cut that off. You know, I love you. I cut that stimulus off, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And they are used to living off that stimulus package.
Oh, yeah.
Standing in front of that stimulus pantry, stimulus refrigerator, sleeping in that stimulus bed, yeah. Protected in that stimulus house from the stimulus storm, and they're looking outside the front door going, pretty scary out there. But you know what they learn is that the same God that took care of them when they were beginning with this stimulus from their parents will take care of them if they'll turn their hearts to God and trust him, and he'll provide for them and he'll protect them, and they'll find out that they'll have children, and they'll provide stimulus for a season. But there will be a day that any good parent says it's time for you to begin. And a bad parent would say, listen, you don't have to do anything. I'll take care of you. As a matter of fact, we'll just have a socialistic relationship and you won't have to do anything at all. You'll never have to work. You'll never have to produce. You'll never have to trust God. You just look to me for your resources. That's destructive, by the way, as a parent. And that's destructive as a government, for the government to take the place of God. And it's like we never learn. And of course, it's so much easier for a child to say, I'm going to stay here. I don't go through the trials of life. I don't want to have to trust God for everything. I don't want to have to go out and get up every day and go get a job and work and take care of responsibilities and all that kind of stuff. And a good parent's going to say, well, you'll get used to it. And it'll cause you to turn to God, and you'll see how God blesses you. He'll bless the work of your hands. But it'd be so terrible for a parent to say, you know, you don't have to do anything. You know what I'm saying? They never find out who they are and what their potential is. They're never able to go out and do. I think about this child with a CEO that left the financial district in New Jersey. She's living in New Jersey now, and she just started this bicycle replenishing effort in the community. And the rule is, if you will come in and clock in, these little children will come in and clock in, literally sign a time card. And I believe it's something like, if they'll work 30 hours or something like that, they get a free bike. Well, they'll get a free bike. They get paid by getting a bicycle. And so they're interviewing this young child. And they said, well, how do you feel about this? He says, I just never knew that was in me. I feel so good about it, because when I ride this bicycle, I know that I labored. I actually did this. And now he comes back, and the other kids continue to come back, because there's something inside of them and all of us that feels good, that when you work and God blesses the work of your hand, it comes back to you. And we're taking that away from somebody when you say, well, you don't have to work. And what environment did we create that several generations did not get to experience this blessing? And it's like the whole nation's heading that way. It's like like some child that doesn't want to leave home, which is not a child anymore. She's a woman and he's a man. And it's time. It's like, you know, dude, you're drawing Social Security. It's time for you to go. And I talked about this earlier, but it kind of applies. I was talking with this particular lady. She said, well, now I'm home all alone now. The kids are out and it's just so peaceful. It's quiet, all the stuff for one of my sons. And so I'm thinking, oh, just young son's still trying to find his way. And sometimes every child's different. It takes a little bit longer than others. You know, some you have to hold back and some you have to push forward and some you have to kick. Wait, no. But either way, it happens, kicks. And so so you're thinking, oh, obviously somebody's 18, 19, 20 hanging around the house and just kind of not working out for them. And so she's talking about, I would like for, he was going to go over to Alabama and for the weekend or something. I thought I was going to be together alone for three days, but he came back. And what do you know? Next thing I heard the garage door going up and he was coming in. And so I'm having this whole feeling of like, oh, wow, you know, I could see that. Mm-hmm. You know, I could see that. And it's so funny how somebody, a young kid, tries to act so independent, but yet they live this dependent life. Mm-hmm. It's like, it's really hard to put your foot down when it lands in your mom's house.
Exactly. Mm-hmm.
And then when you get in your own house, you can put it down. But right now, it's my foot that's going to be put down here.
That's right.
And so finally, I just had to ask. I'm thinking, and then she goes, he comes in. He's like, you know, where's my pants? I need some pants washed. You know, I need to fix any breakfast, any supper, dinner. I'm thinking, dang, this kid is demanding. Mm. And finally, I said, well, how old is he? And we're all kind of leaning forward as we're listening. She goes, he's 51.
Oh my God.
He's 51.
Yikes.
But that's America. Mm-hmm. That's how crazy that sounds. That's America right now. Mm. And we're like some rebellious kid wanting to still stay in mom and dad's house and demand our way and have all this stimulus put our way. And that's not how God's designed it. We need to be like the kid in New Jersey who realized, I want to work. I just didn't have an opportunity and I didn't even know this was in me. And once I found out this was in me, I wanted to continue to work and I want to help other kids come here and do their 30 hours to get their bicycles. Listen, God's designed life where we toil with our hands. We toil, we work, and then God blesses the work of our hands. And then he even says that everything that we do is for our mouth. I mean, you're actually working and energy. What happens? You buy food with it and somehow you protect your food with it and you eat it and it gives you substance. And this is what he talks about in Ecclesiastes. Mm-hmm. That's how God's designed things to be. And you're going to miss God's design for you if you insist on your parents or anybody else, including your government, to totally provide for you. Turn to God. He will not disappoint.
You've just been listening to the highlights from the Daily VFN Radio program, where we're keeping the conversation light. Don't forget to share it with your friends. Find out more and listen to the Daily VFN Radio program in its entirety at VFNTV.com or with your mobile VFNTV app on your mobile phone or device. That's VFNTV.com. VFN Radio is brought to you by friends like you and our underwriters. Find out more how you can join them by giving or how you, your business or ministry, can become an underwriter at VFNTV.com.